Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm a local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we will endeavor to share with you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find information out there about us. These radio programs are there in MP3 files. There's a host of Bible videos on various subjects and a host of other Bible-related material that will help you and aid you in your study of the Word of God. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Come with an open Bible, an open mind, and let us show you the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Today begins a new month, and we want to use this month to ask a question and to answer it during the month of November. The question is, what does the Bible claim for itself? What claim does the Bible make for itself? Now, the claim that the Bible makes for itself is that it is a book of inspiration. And what that means, it is a divine book of inspiration. The word inspiration means God breathed. And so the argument that the Bible makes for itself, that it defends and that it sets forth, is that it is a book of divine inspiration. Believing that the Bible is God's infallible word is fundamental to all Bible study. It's the foundation of all true biblical preaching. Believing the Bible is infallible is absolutely necessary to have confidence in it and to form our life around its precepts, its teachings, and its commands. How can any study of preaching profit us if we approach the Bible with doubt about its origin and doubt about its contents? What would preaching be if it's not rooted in the belief that the Bible is inerrant, without fault, without error? And what would that take us if we did not believe those fundamental truths? The first questions that we would have to ask, ladies and gentlemen, is what does the Bible claim? Number one, does it claim to be from God? We will answer that question. Does it claim that all of it is inspired, both Old and New Testament? Does it claim to be complete? That means with nothing missing, nothing left out, nothing that was overlooked. Does it claim to be infallible? That means without error. That means without contradiction. That means without any fundamental flaw. And does it claim that every word is divine? Does it make the claim that every word came from the God of heaven? What evidence would sustain such a claim? We want to see if the Bible will sustain all of those claims that I just mentioned. And so we're going to let the Bible be the definitive arbitrator whether or not those claims have been met in the Bible itself. Christianity is often called a book religion, but it would be more exact to say that it is a religion which has a book. But he has chosen to found his church not directly by his own hands, speaking the word of God, say for instance, in thunder tones from heaven, but through the instrumentality of a body of apostles chosen and trained by himself, endowed with gifts and graces from the Holy Spirit, and sent forth into the world as authoritative agents for proclaiming a gospel which he placed within their lips and which is nonetheless his authoritative word, that it is through them that he speaks it. It is because the apostles were Christ's representatives that what they did and said and wrote as such comes with us from divine authority. The authority of the Scripture thus rests on the simple fact that God's authoritative agents in founding the church gave them as authoritative to the church which they all founded. All the authority of the apostles stands behind the scriptures, and all the authority of Christ is behind the apostles. The scriptures are simply the law code which the lawgiver of the church gave it to do. The apostles thus determine the authority of the scriptures. And any book or body of books which is given to the church by the apostles as law must always remain of the divine authority of the church. God speaks to us now in the scripture, not only mediates through his representative, but directly through the scriptures themselves as his inspired word. The scriptures thus become the crystallization of God's authoritative will. But God has caused his grace to abound in us that not only published redemption through Christ in the world, but gave his preachment authoritative expression through the apostles and fixed it with the infallible trustworthiness in his inspired word. Thus, in every age, God speaks directly to every Christian heart and gives us abounding safety to our feet and divine security to our souls. And thus, instead of a mere record of revelation given in the past, we have the everlasting word of God. Instead of a mere tradition, however guarded, we have what we have all learned to call the unique sense. We have the scriptures. They are authoritative, they are true, they are right, and they are the mind of God as it was revealed in the scripture. When we look at the scriptures, there's an expression that you will find over 2,000 plus times. That expression is, "Thus saith the Lord." It can be said in simple terms as "God said," or "the thus saith the Lord," or it could be "that the Lord said." But over 2,000 times in the scriptures, it has some reference that points to the words that God has spoken, the words that God said. That means that they have come from God. They originate with him. They come from his mind, and we will study that further in our study. We also need to understand that the scripture plainly teaches that the Bible is an inspired book. But making the claim is one thing, but can the claim be sustained by the book itself? Can the book itself sustain the claim that it came from God and is a message from God? Let us begin by looking at a passage in the book of Amos. In Amos chapter 7, we want to begin by reading verse 14 through 17. Amos chapter 7, verse 14 through 17. And Amos answered and said to Azariah, "I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore trees. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not sprout against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a harlot in the city. Your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword. Your land shall be divided by the survey line, and you shall die in a defiled land. And Israel shall surely be led away captive from his own land.'" Those are not the words of Isaiah. Those are the words of God spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And so what we were going to do in these lessons this month, we're going to look at four basic things that we want to ask and we want to offer as evidence in the Bible's claim of inspiration. Number one, we're going to look at Old Testament claim. Can the Old Testament make the claim that it is inspired? And then we're going to look at the New Testament claim. Does the New Testament make the same claim? And then we're going to look at the nature of inspiration. What is the nature of inspiration? How can we come to understand and appreciate inspiration? And then last of all, we're going to ask the very basic, simple question. What difference does it make? What difference does it make, one way or another, whether the Bible is inspired or if it's not inspired? And so we want to answer these four questions in our study. And so let's first examine the Old Testament claim. We began the Old Testament claim by reading from the prophet Amos, and we'll be reading from some other prophets during this time. But notice Amos tells us that God said, God spoke. Amos was not speaking. He was speaking for God. He was led by the Holy Spirit, and he was speaking the things of God that he wanted Israel to know. The men of God claimed to speak as God directed them. And so we have to take the argument that they spoke as God directed them. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at David. Now, these are the last words of David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse, thus says man raised up on high, the anointed of God, of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. David said the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him, and that word was on his tongue. Matthew 22, 43 and 44, Jesus said that David spoke in the Spirit. That means that he was directed by the Holy Spirit. That was the origin of his words. Let me read it for you. He said to them, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. David spoke in the Spirit. He was directed by the Spirit. He was the second king of Israel in the United Kingdom, and he clearly shows that he spoke through the Spirit. Let's look at one more this morning. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, the great prophet Isaiah. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Notice Isaiah speaks of the rebellion of the children of Israel. How did he know that? Where did he get that information that the children were rebellious? Well, one way he got it is by observation. He knew that because they had rejected his words and his teaching, but he knew it because the Lord said, the Lord told him that the children of Israel had been rebellious, and that's why the prophets were sent to the children to get them to repent, to turn away from sin, and to come back to the Lord. But I want you to notice in Amos and in David that in these prophets, they clearly make the argument that they spoke by the Spirit of God. They were directed by God's Spirit. That means the words did not originate with them. They originated with God and were given to men through men who were led by the Holy Spirit. That is true even in the Old Testament. So when men argue with the Scriptures, they're not arguing with Isaiah or David or Amos. They are actually arguing with God. Tune in again next week.